Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Did you hear about it? That's life. That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shut down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June, I said that's life. Funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stepping on dreams. But I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this old world, it keeps going around.
Well, if we take you back to college then, and I mean, I'm sort of trying to grapple with that idea of, you know, someone with your strength of character and pride and sense of yourself, you know, embarking on a series of relationships with girls when you were in college. I mean, it must have been a huge strain internally for you.
Yeah.
How did that work?
Was a constant.
I mean, I'm trying to think, for example, of me being secretly attracted to women, but out of a sense of, fuck, let's say society was completely turned on its head, and me having a series of relationships with men when I, at heart, have no interest in them. You know, it must be extremely...
It was draining, because it was the constant... battle internally with your feelings and what you wanted people to perceive, and then for people to perceive that, you had to put on a show. So it was the, when I'm taking her out for dinner, or, you know, it wasn't anything fancy at the time, we wouldn't have had the money, or staying up at the weekend just to spend time with her, or take her to the park, or all the romantic gestures or the big gestures, you know, that other lads weren't doing, because they were just happy being together, but I was always the one making the gesture, because I needed to be seen to be making the gesture so that people will believe in the story.
And that's what it was. You had to be ostentatious. You had to be out there so that you could keep your secret.
Absolutely. And when it got to the stage when I wasn't with someone, well, I was out on the night out with the lads, and I'd drink myself into almost oblivion so I wouldn't have to deal with my sexuality, and there was no hope that a girl would come up and think, oh, there's someone that I'd like to be with now tonight, because I wouldn't be able to stand at the bar, you know.
So, and were you ever worried when you drank that, you know, the kind of the construct and the conceit would kind of fall away? Because that's...
No, I didn't. It didn't. It never bothered me at all. I was just one of the lads on a night out in town, and I was always treated just as one of the lads on a night out.
So, I mean, the that situation continues indefinitely for many men. I think in particular men, I think. I mean, my experience, women are much more... This is anecdotal. It's not, you know, based on any statistics or anything like that. But it seems to me that that women are much more open about their sexuality whenever... I mean, even today when I was going up here, you know, so two sets of girls, you know, just holding hands in the normal everyday way. And it's still not a very usual sight, even around a city as sort of multicultural and modern as Dublin, to see like men holding hands. But the situation didn't continue for you. And maybe you just tell us a bit about how that came to be.
Damaging an awful lot of my relationships, particularly with friends in the club at home, up until I was 27, 28 years of age, travelling home to Slane. The worst experience of that time, the 40, 50 minute journey from the school in Terenure home for training twice a week. The only time I gave myself an opportunity to think, and it was awful. I'd arrive home, argumentative, aggressive, pick a fight with my parents for no reason. They couldn't understand what had happened to David, why he had changed the personality so much. I'd storm off to training, fall out with someone at training. David Beggy usually was managing us at the time, and, you know, angry with David, and David would call me the Roy Keane of Slane GAA. Just aggressive. Nothing was perfect, nothing was right. Not that we were any good at the time, we were only playing intermediate football. But just wasn't happy in myself.
But were you more aggressive when you went home? Like when you were in school, did it reveal itself more? That
school is a very happy place.
Right.
Children are wonderful to be around. They don't care about you or your humour or what you're like. They tell it as it is and they just get on with life.
But it was just once you went home and you're confronted with the
you were going back home to a village, what I thought was a village mentality coming from the city where things were different and a little bit more liberal, or a little bit easier to hide in the city. And you were going home to the village and you were masking. You were everyone else's opinion of who you should be, apart from who you were supposed to be.
And by that stage, presumably, David, you know, you'd had some sort of sexual experimentation with men. Presumably you had.
Yeah, from probably a young age in university, college, and afterwards. You know, I was living on my own in Dublin from 2007 onwards, you know, so when I was from 24 on, you know, I was living on my own, so I was my own person. I didn't have anyone watching the comings and goings of the house, and I certainly would have had Joe, yeah.
And did you have any serious relationships during that time?
No, nothing serious until I came out in 2011.
Yeah, and maybe if you're happy to talk about that, you were teaching in a Catholic school, were you not?
Yeah, I was teaching in St. Pius X in Terenure. I'm teaching there from September 2007, and it's illegal at the time to be openly gay and contravene the Catholic ethos of the school. You can lose your job, and that legislation wasn't changed until 2016, 2017, after the marriage equality referendum. It's a frightening experience, and I was one of a number of gay and lesbian teachers on the campus, and I'm one of a number in my own school today, and it's a much happier place to be now. But hiding your sexuality from your work colleagues, and so many people talk about bringing, you know, the best version of themselves to work every day. How can you do that when you're masking everything about you, your sexuality, afraid that something you say, the way you say it, the way you walk, a mannerism, maybe something camp, where you were at the weekend, might just give away the slightest hint about your sexuality. It's draining.
So you're in school, And I will never forget it, the time of necessary decision.
It's fantastic. January, the last Friday of January in 2011, I'm sitting in my classroom. I was an SCT teacher at the time, and a child with autism was gone to see a psychologist for the day, and I'd half an hour free on that wet Friday afternoon. My aunt was getting married, and I was asked to read at her humanist wedding a verse of a poem, lyrics of a song. And that same man who set me on my path in refereeing from Fionnuala in County Clare had given me a book by John O'Donoghue, also from the Banner. And I chanced upon a verse called For the Time of Necessary Decision. In the 90 seconds it took to read down through that poem, the tears flowed down my face uncontrollably in the classroom in St. Pius, just coming up to 2:30 on that Friday afternoon.
I just want to read a small stanza from it. Often, we only know it's time to change when a force is built inside the heart that leaves us uneasy as we are. We drift through this grey, increasing nowhere until we stand before a threshold we know we have to cross to come alive once more. So you're sitting at your desk and you've read that.
Yeah. It calls you to, may you have the courage to take the step into the unknown. Trust that a richer life awaits us there. Calling you. Kind of not knowing the kind of grey increasing nowhere that existed. To come alive once more. That afternoon, I drove from Terenure down to Slane with the intention of telling my parents. My cousin's 30th was on that night. Didn't tell them. Saturday came, didn't tell them. Sunday morning arrived, the start of the Dublin Lawn Tennis League's Winter League. I'm playing with my doubles partner that I played with for 13 years in Stecallen in the tennis club. And I wait till I get home to call my parents into the kitchen at about 6 o'clock in the evening with my brother. My sister was possibly too young at the time, from what I can remember, to be told. She's 13 years younger than me. She's a huge supporter of me now, and myself and Tiago. And called my parents in, and I couldn't even say those three words, that I am gay. I had to lie. Still telling lies. I had to say that I had a partner and that his name was. When I think back to it, it was only a brief number of weeks that I had brought someone to the Leinster Council referee banquet.
you had a girlfriend.
I did have, yes.
And, it's one way of testing if they're going to stick around, isn't it?
I mean, he brought her, that's one of the worst things I've ever heard, to the Leinster referees banquet. I mean, honestly, it's like, aha, aha, tell me. And were you still seeing her at that
time? No. I think that night was disaster enough.
And you felt this was now or never, sort of.
Was it the poem?
Was it
that moment of enlightenment, if you want to call it.
And so you said, look, I have a partner. His name's Dave. And what did you feel like?
There was a worry, first of all. How is this going to be taken? What is going to be the outcome? How are my parents going to feel? You very quickly you realise that you don't really care what anyone else thinks about you. It's just your parents and your siblings that really matter, and those closest to you. And it's that worry, that irrational fear that you think you're not going to fit in, that you for some reason are going to be treated completely differently, because you've heard the stories of the people being kicked out of their house or being made feel unwelcome or not playing sport anymore because they don't fit in, you know. And I was happy for the most part outside my sexuality with the life I had, and I wanted to keep the support that I had in the school, in my family, my extended family, and in the GA. So there's the worry, but there's also the weight that just lifts off. And I can remember the car journey back to Dublin that evening not being near as stressful as the ones coming down in the previous couple of years. It was like someone had a belt strapped around the upper part of your chest, and at the back of it they were just pulling it tighter and tighter and tighter. And unless you experience that, you've no idea what that feeling is like, because there's no belt there and you don't understand where the pressure's coming from.
And then, did you feel elation?
No, I wouldn't say I felt elated. I felt a little bit less stressed. There was still a different kind of stress now as to what the parents and the family were going to think, but a huge relief.
How did your mum and dad react when you told
them? Dad's very quiet. I think I said to you before, Joe, he's a very pensive individual. He would be a perfectionist, like myself. Walk into that man's workshop at home and he wouldn't think it was a workshop at all. Everything has a place and everything's in its place. He was quiet. Mum later told me she thought I was going to tell her that I'd gotten my girlfriend pregnant.
which was not outside the bounds of possibility.
No, it was not. It was not.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Leinster GA banquet didn't get in the way.
Yeah, how did your mum react?
Yeah, she reacted. There was silence afterwards, you know, and it was just kind of shock. I suppose I didn't give them much opportunity to delve into it with questions, and I left, closed the door and went back to Dublin. But they were on the phone straight away. You know, are you okay? Is everything all right? You know, and the next morning, I remember getting the phone call and they just wanted me to be happy, Joe. And I think it was an awakening for them, a realisation that this actually was what was causing the change in personality for the last number of years. And as the days trickled on and the weeks, and I started to return to a much happier self, they could really see that, you know, my personality was turning back to itself and the humour was improving. They've always said they only wanted us to be happy, and I know they're happy for me now.
They didn't, and I know that you've at the night of the wedding, you know, you talked about your grandmother Alice. I know that you have a very special relationship with her.
Yeah. You're going to start me off here now again, Joe. Yeah, Granny's very special to us all at home, like any grandmother would be in a family, and Granny and Grandad were the glue that held us all together, and I suppose the ones that gave my aunts and uncles and Dad.
What's so special about her? What's her name?
Alice.
What's so special about her?
She's just a wonderful woman. She's great company to be with, and she's one of my biggest supporters. She'll never miss a football match I'm at. She taught me how to bake. She's taught me all about my flowers and growing plants, and she's constantly in the garden centre with me, and I'm buying and she's buying, and we just, you know, we're great company for one another, and I can't pass the front door of the house in Slane without ever stopping in.
Yeah. How did your granny react when you when you came out?
Yeah, I remember Dad telling her in 2011, and Dad said, you know, Granny's okay. She said sometimes those people are the nicest people.
I wanted to ask you about the newspaper
and about the Stephen Gidley story. You told me when I asked you, when you were talking about it, that you still had it.
Yeah.
That you always kept it with you.
Yeah. In a box under the bed.
It's quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
And did you keep anything else from your childhood?
No, an awful lot. My mum was great at collecting items from her childhood. And for our 21st birthdays, she presented us with a scrapbook of memories. Fantastic. Everything from first day at school to copies to star cards that you would have gotten for spellings or tables, you know, little letters we would have written her or cards that people would have given us for birthdays. And we have a huge collection of things at home. Kept a lot of stuff from my time in St. Pat's and Navan, and that was a special time. That's where my greatest friends that I still hang around with today, one now based in Kerry, the other just outside Kentstown, and the best of pals. And that's where I made them. I sat down beside Ronan my first day of secondary school, and we've been best friends ever since. So I've kept a lot of stuff from St. Pat's, a lot of stuff, newspaper articles from the Hogan Cup at the time, because that was big. That was big in Navan, you know. Not that I was playing, but I still kept the articles.
They're dim and distant memories.
A very long time ago.
They're a long way away from Graham Gerrity and...
I want to just ask you about when Joe was reciting the poem, you were mouthing it as he was doing it. Mm. Like, do you think there is a sliding doors where if you weren't in that classroom on that day where you open up that poem, you would have stayed in denial, you would have kept going, or would have something?
Absolutely. I have a lovely bespoke piece of art on my wall at home. A designer from Slane did it in lovely rainbow colours around the symbols of Newgrange from home, and the poem is worked into that piece of art. But many years afterwards, when I was speaking to the psychologist about it, he called it a revelation. And having studied Latin at school, Joe, revelation means to veil again.
Try me.
Yeah. Revelare. And it was that unveiling of my inner voice and having it failed again that allowed me to come out. So that inner voice is something that, you know, you don't create your inner voice. You only give her the opportunity to appear every now and again. And that poem created the environment for my inner voice to.
Is there a sense that that by hiding yourself for so long that there were wasted years, a wasted decade? Like,
there was a wasted decade of probably life experiences that I was never going to get back. You think in 2011 when I started to see someone for the first time that I was genuinely interested in. I'd never really gone on a date before where it mattered, the outcome. You know, it was all for show. I never had those pre-date nerves because it was just systematic at the time that it was just something I went through for optics. But going on a date, with the nerves at 27, 28 years of age, having lost out on all those experiences and not knowing, do I text back? Am I too eager? Do I not? You know, all those things that you'd see a teenager doing. I was doing that at 27, 28 years of age. Yeah,
it was a bit like someone going to prison when they're 14 and being released when they're 25. That sort of thing.
Yeah, a long sentence.
Yeah. Well, look, I think, give me a second. I think you're going to be the Stephen Gately for a lot of young people. I think that we're very proud of David, and in the whole GA family, I think we're very proud of him, apart from, obviously, Enda Gormley and Fergal McCusker, who think you're a useless cunt. And we're so glad that you've come in today and spoken to us in this way. Thank you very much indeed, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, David. That was...
Love you, man.
Very moving. Thank you.
After one whole quart of brandy, like a daisy, I'm awake. With no bromo seltzer handy, I don't even shake. Men are not a new sensation. I've done pretty well, I think. But this half pint imitation put me on the blink. I'm wild again, beguiled again, a simpering, whimpering child again, bewitched, bothered. Couldn't sleep and wouldn't sleep when love came and told me I shouldn't sleep. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.